Hello, hello, and welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson, a podcast about prioritizing passion. Each week, we cover topics in the personal development space, including things like money, finance, business, entrepreneurship, mindset, and seriously, whatever else I'm feeling extra passionate about that week. These conversations are meant to encourage you to prioritize your passion. Welcome to the party. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am back with my co-host, Casey B, and this week we are talking about the past 2 weeks of our life with Casey B being in charge of work. We have some, should we just get into the crazy part, or should we lead up to the crazy part? Because something crazy, not cool, scary, frightening, all of this should have been for our Halloween episode.
Happened. I was spooked.
Yeah, indeed. Spooked, shaking, terrified. Happened yesterday at work, and I think we just got to talk about it because we should just talk about it. But should we talk about it at the end or the beginning? What do you want to do?
Let's set it up.
Let's set it up. Okay, so. And we're not going to do toast and roast. Well, I will do a toast and a roast. My toast is that Casey did a wonderful job the past 2 weeks. And my roast, you'll hear it later.
Thank you.
When you guys are probably like, what do you mean? What happened the past 2 weeks? Now it's been 2.5 weeks. So Casey, we both work at Casey's family's business. It's a lumberyard, if you don't know. And his mom and dad are the owners, and they do all of the ordering of materials and all that. They're just in charge. His mom and dad are in charge, and they have left before, and Casey has been in charge. Probably the longest was probably like 4 days.
Yeah, 3-4 days.
Three to four days. So they went on like spur of the moment, but kind of spur of the moment. Like a month ago, they said, we're going to take some time off in October. And I was like, oh, good for you. What are you thinking? And they're like, oh, we're going to go to Arizona to see some family. That's awesome. And then they're like, yeah, we're going to drive. I'm like, what? That takes a lot of time. And then they said, yeah, I think we're going to be gone for 2 weeks. I was like, 2 weeks? And I was talking to your mom, and I was like, when's the last time that your dad has taken that much time off of work? And she's like, never. Like,
yeah,
never.
That's never happened.
So this is not something like we're used to. Like, I don't know where this came from. I'm like jokingly saying they're having a midlife crisis, but like, it's good that they took this vacation, and it's good that they feel confident enough to leave you in charge. Like, they put in a lot of work to set up good systems. Like, the best businesses can run without the owners there and smoothly, but they do play a big role in what they do. They're hands-on. They're not like hands-off. They're very involved, is what I would say.
Yep.
So they said, Casey, you're going to be in charge for 2 weeks, and you've done it before, but 2 weeks is a long time that goes through multiple ordering cycles. When it's just a couple days, you might like stock up on a couple things a little bit. You might do a couple orders while they're gone, but 2 weeks is like a long time, and you go through different cycles. Like, there's one place that you order from where whoever is doing the ordering, orders twice a week. So that's at least 4 times. Here's the kicker, is that when they got back from their trip, they weren't feeling very good. And so they have been gone another 3 days. They're probably going to be gone the rest of the week just to be safe, you know. So 3 weeks is a long time for you to be in charge and doing things. You know how to do them. You have great judgment. You're doing a really amazing job, but it's a lot on your shoulders. So how do you feel?
It was really overwhelming at first, because I basically just went from being in the yard full time to being in the office full time. And it's like, me personally, I try to do everything. Like, so my mom, she usually takes care of what, like just keeping people in line.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. That's a funny way to put it. Like, saying that, I mean, yeah, she kind of does. She, surprisingly, like, she kind of does, she talks to all of the guys, like, every day, and she kind of tells them what to do more than your dad does. Your dad does a lot of, like, behind the scenes, numbers, ordering, calling people, not so much, like, employee operations. Like, he does, he'll tell people what to do as well, but your mom is more, like, hands-on with you guys in the yard.
Yep.
So you're doing that. And so, your dad's job.
And my dad's job, which is, it's a whole nother thing. So it's like when a distributor calls, I'm the one that they have to talk to. And it's like, they're all asking for me. Then I'm taking care of one thing. And it's like, I'm either buying some wood from somebody or selling stuff and doing like custom orders and having to figure out. There's a lot of math that goes into it. It doesn't seem like it. No, but there's a shitload of math.
There is so much math.
It's like the first week I was pulling my hair out. I'm like, I'm going to sleep and I'm doing like equations for calculating board footage, which is like that's how we would buy materials per the board foot as a unit of measurement.
Okay, yeah, you're going to get in the weeds here.
But... I know. I was trying to stay away from
that. I'm going to have to stop you sometimes, because sometimes when Casey talks to people, whether it's customers or just a random person, like even when we go home and we're like talking to family or whatever. Sorry, I just moved the microphone if you guys can hear that. like sometimes you'll start talking to people and you just like go so deep in the weeds and you're like, yeah, you know, like you do it sometimes. I can't even think of words but I hear them and I'm like, Casey, you're in too deep. But yeah, but what I was going to say before that was like, you're just so smart. And I just am so happy to be with you. And I love how good you are at math. And when I was working in college athletics, I did a lot of stuff with math, Excel, like that kind of stuff. And I still do. But what you do is so much math. And I was shocked when I was working at my previous job and I would have to teach people how to do certain things like proportions or like talking about math and like payments and bill plans. And I would like have to like explain, like, this is how you do the equation, like this plus this divided by this plus this, and people are like, oh my god. And I also did all the money stuff too, so that was kind of like, I like math a lot, like I'm really into math, but I'm like, I can't even imagine most people our age, like I don't know any of our friends really, and I have a lot of smart friends who could learn what you've learned how to do in like a year, even like myself, and I'm like, you try to explain it to me and it would take me so long to learn these freaking conversions that you talk about. It's like, it's crazy. It's crazy. Like, you're talking about how much like a tree costs into specific pieces of wood, and then you order it, and then you pick, like, I can understand profit and loss, and then like why we price things how we do, because you're making however much percent profit. But the stuff that comes even before that is like crazy math. And so like, hats off to you, KCB. You're so smart.
Thank you. I don't seem that smart. Anybody who's ever met me, but I mean, I talk slow.
Feel like people, like, they know that you're smart and they know you're so talented too. Like all the stuff that you can build and do with your hands. And you're like, you're so good at hands-on things too. But I just don't think that people understand like how much, like how numbers smart you are as well.
Yeah, well, it's like all the projects I build around here and like all the stuff I do at work, I pretty much just have all the numbers in my head, and
I guess you do go off of numbers, but I always feel like it's more like a creativity and like guess and check, which is how I do a lot of things, is guess and check. So, and then you figure it out.
Always concrete.
You're a nerd.
Doesn't seem like it, but I am.
You took on two jobs, basically. And
plus my normal job.
Plus your normal job, actually. So you're doing three jobs in one.
So, yeah, the first week I was driving myself freaking crazy because I was trying to
get all these things done and make sure nothing was slipping through the cracks on like receiving end and ordering things, and but at the same time running around the yard being a crazy man like I always am. And yeah, but I feel like after like 3 days of doing that, I was just like, nope, I'm not doing my normal stuff anymore. It's like I'm just focusing on this and focusing on keeping the wheels on this place. And it's been a lot easier since then.
So, what do you think is good about your communication, like, with your parents through this as, like, bosses? Because I would say, I mean, your job is different than any job that I've ever had before, but you guys, when you're communicating and they're on vacation or they're out or they're sick or whatever, it's very different than what I would do, because I would prefer things in writing. I would do a bunch, like an email, and every boss is different. So how did you guys get to where you are with your communication? Because you guys do a lot of calls. I've been in situations before where my boss is like, I want you to email me or call me or whatever at the end of every day and tell me this. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't have a wrap up to tell you. Like, we're not, that was during like a slow season of something. I'm like, oh my, I don't have anything to tell you. But so what's your communication style like when they're gone?
So it's nice that they trust me. Mm-hmm. They trust me a lot. And it's like, I've proven myself for years now. So usually when we talk, it's me calling them, just asking a question.
Something very specific that you kind of want approval on.
Needs to be, it can't be a general topic I'm calling about. That's just a waste of time, waste of my time. And I mean, it's, the nice thing is that this whole time, days have been just flying by. It is freaking awesome. But
even when it's raining.
Even when it's raining. But yeah, it's mainly just, yeah, talking about problems with the problems that's going on. And
do you call them or they call you?
It's about half and half. Like if they think of something that they want checked, they'll call me. If I need to know something that I don't know, I call them.
What do you think it would be like if they weren't your parents?
I'd probably not call them. Because, with other situations, I'm like, okay, I'm going to figure this out. That's the only path I ever chose was before I worked there. It was like, I need to figure this out by myself. So if I don't figure this out, things are going to go sideways. I don't want to deal with talking to the owner and asking them questions and bugging them and all that. They have better things to do. They're running a business, owning a business.
So I feel like it's a really good opportunity, and I've been in these situations as well, when you're given a little bit more responsibility while someone's gone or whatever the situation is, like you're going to be in charge of this, and you get these moments, or it could be a lot of moments, where you have to make decisions. You have to use your judgment, as opposed to, you can't call your boss every 5 seconds and be like, what do you think I should do now? What do you think I should do now? Like, this happened. What should I do? Like, sometimes you just got to make a decision in the moment, or that's why people leave you in charge. Like, this is, you use your judgment. So how has like your confidence grown with that over the years? Because I know
was exactly like that when I first.
At first, you would call all the time, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
How annoying! Yeah. I would lose my mind if you were my employee. I would say, send me an email.
Like back when we were open on Mondays, and that's when I like first started working solo in the office, and like first really started doing it, doing orders and stuff, ordering and all that. I was calling my dad like at least 2-3 times in a 3-hour shift asking questions, and then he just would get frustrated and be like, I trust your judgment, make the best judgment call for the company. I'm like, that's what it comes down to. And then I kind of beat into my head and
but sometimes I feel like you're just put in situations sometimes where it's like, I don't know what what is the best. Like, yeah. I just don't know. And sometimes you just got to go with it. But do you have any advice for people?
Well, that's
besides it comes with time and confidence. Because obviously it does.
Something my dad told me, and he still tells me when I'm in the office or covering for them at all, is it's okay not to know everything. And it's totally fine, but you need to admit when you don't know something. And you don't, like, work hard trying to figure it out or act like you know and not know what you're talking about, which...
That's actually advice that I've gotten before as well.
Yeah.
Which I'm not surprised, because we, that's the one thing, that's why our relationship is so good, because we have the, I would say, almost exact same work style. I think we have slightly different management styles, but
yeah, that's true.
With something that came up today, we're I'm a little bit more straightforward, and Casey's a little bit more, let's think it over first, and I get a little bit more.
Hey, that's because I'm a math based, honey. I gotta have concrete plans. I can't let my emotions.
Emotions are important sometimes.
Emotions gotta be kept in check.
Yeah. But I was right. So, yeah. So I'm trying to think of anything else we should talk about with that before we get into the crazy story, because I think you're doing a great job, and like, it's just, it's fun for me to like watch you do all this stuff. And it was fun for me when I just started working there and seeing you do what you do. And I know that you enjoy being in charge of operations outside more than you like being in charge of like behind the scenes operations. I'm trying to figure out what a good word for it is. Another thing we need to do at our job is like figure out titles of people, because I mean, when you're in a small business, it's just like, yeah, you just do whatever. But on a really old episode of the podcast, go listen to it. It's one of my favorite interviews with Tatiana O'Hara. She was talking about just small entrepreneurs and like growing your team, or even in your corporate workplace. And like, things that you need to do are having clear job descriptions, clear performance indicators, and standard operating procedures. And just like, it sounds really boring, but when you're actually looking at it really close in your actual day-to-day life, whatever your job is, you're like, oh yeah, we need to like maybe clear up that a little bit, or make that a little bit like dive into that a little deeper, whatever it is, because everyone's job can like do a better job of defining your roles. And but you still gotta like, you, the hard part is when you work in like small business, especially things like blue collar or a restaurant or something like that, it's like if somebody on your team needs your help, like you gotta help them, like we're a team.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a double-edged sword there. So you never want somebody on your team who's like, well, that's not my job. That's the absolute worst thing.
Oh, we've had people like that that have came through, like temp workers and stuff. Like, that's not my job. And it always came down to me just being like, that is your fucking job.
That's the biggest, that's such a red flag. This is kind of like the opposite of a red flag, but I'm trying to figure out how to, when I worked in sports, somebody said something similar to that. Like, oh, that's not for me. Like, have the student workers do that. I talk to season ticket holders. Like, and it's like, if somebody needs your help, like, you just freaking help. And they were like, yeah, it's not really, that's just have somebody lower on the totem pole, talk to them. And this person was not very high on the totem pole. And I'm just like, one of the things that is just ingrained in my mind forever was when I did my first internship in sports, up on the wall at the University of Idaho in their ticket office, it says, customer service is not a department, it's everyone's job. And I'm gonna freaking put it on the wall at our work, because certain people need to remember that too. But I think every job has those certain people who are like, oh, you know, I don't need to talk to the customer, or I'm too good to talk to that customer, or this person. And it's like, ah. So that's like the big one for me. Customer service is not a department. It's everyone's job, because that's who you're serving, your customer, your client, your whoever.
That's one thing I feel bad about since like in the past. 2.5 weeks. It's like I usually am walking around with people, showing people, selling stuff, and like out in the yard, and I have a lot more customer interactions. And it's like I've just been so stressed and so swamped. It's like the phone rings, and I'm like, there's no freaking way I'm gonna lose my train of thought if I answer that phone. And
yeah, that's why we need different offices. I think that that's another thing that could be fixed is it's when somebody's like really in deep in a project. And once again, this was at my other job too. Like, it may seem like you're available to answer the phone, and it's like the phones are the first priority, or the customer in front of you is like the first priority. But it's like, I know that's the first priority, but like, I will get to it in like 2 minutes. Otherwise, I'm going to spend 20 minutes getting back to this point that I'm at right now. So like, that's a hard thing to do. And it's, that's just management and like learning to actually just admit that. If you tell some, but sometimes you're like, that's how I would be at first to it. Like, I'll do it just a second. And then I spend those 20 minutes getting back to where I was. Whereas I'll be like, I'll be with you in like 1 minute, just a second here. And then it's like, oh, everyone's happy. It wasn't that hard? No.
Well, like today when you came over and asked me if I could show somebody something, it's like I was in the middle of doing a purchase order that I had been working on for freaking half an hour. And I'm like, oh, God, fine. Then as soon as I got out there, I saw one of the guys. I'm like, take him back, show him this.
That was so
funny. I'm like,
this guy's so nice, and he has come in once before, and I told you about him, and he speaks like Spanglish, heavy on the Spanish, very light on the English. Like, his sentence structure is how you, like, he's trying to talk to me, but he's like, más o menos, más dinero, more money, you know, like, he's saying all these things, like, and he knows all, like, the numbers. Just like how I know the numbers in Spanish, but when you're actually trying to like talk about other things, it's hard. And so he was using his little Google Translate, and so it worked out great. But it was funny. I was talking to my other friend who's like bilingual, and I was like, gosh, if I could just have her come work with me, like, I need to get bilingual. It'd be a very good tool.
It was so funny when you came over and I found that what he was looking for, I gave you the price. It was $15. Then I'm just like, 15.
Yeah.
It's 15. Tell him 15.
No, I know the numbers. he knew, it was just funny.
And then his reaction to it.
Oh, yeah.
When you said Kingston.
I said, yeah, so these ones are 15. He already knew what 15 meant, but I was like, Quince. Then he like gets the biggest smile on his face. He's like, oh, you speak Spanish. I'm like, no, I don't speak Spanish. Oh, like, no. I just know the numbers. And I was like, tiny bit. Like, that's obviously not. If I could speak Spanish, we would have had a full conversation going already, sir.
Like, oh, God, that's happened to me so many times where it's like.
And that's why I just like. I don't go that way, because otherwise people will like start like just talking in full Spanish sentences, and I'm like, no, I just know like C.
It was funny back when I used to work in the office a lot. I picked up a lot of Spanish, so it's like they'd be talking back and forth, like two Spanish
contractors.
Yeah, and they'd be talking back and forth, and I'd be writing down their order before they told it to me in English.
It is so funny to me when people who, like, they don't know each other, but then they'll start speaking to each other in Spanish. Or what's more interesting to me is, like, other languages, because a lot of people speak Spanish. But, like, we'll have people who are Russian or Ukrainian, or one of the people speaks, like, Yiddish, or just has, like, elements of Yiddish in whatever language he really speaks. And so they're like, it's just funny, like people who they don't know each other, and then they hear somebody like say something, and they're like, oh, da da da. This is like so interesting.
it's a real melting pot at the mill outlet.
It really is a melting pot. And once again, I'm just gonna tell you, you're doing a really good job.
Thank you.
And are you glad that I'm working there?
I couldn't do it without you.
Whatever, Dave. You've done it before without me.
But not for this long. And I mean, without you and without Dave, I would have went insane.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it That would have been a whole different ball game.
2 weeks ago.
Day two.
Day two, I would have went freaking nuts.
Is there anything that you are most proud of from the past 2 weeks? Where you're like, oh, I'm doing good. Because I love those feelings when you're like, oh, I'm doing good.
Proud for myself?
Or... yeah, proud of, or the team.
So for myself, I
like,
really...
not the team.
For the team, I got on everybody the first day my parents were off because they messed up first thing in the morning. There was like three of the guys out of the six were involved in the order. And that was the guy wanted us to deliver the stuff to. Oh, and
yeah,
I
was that day.
Yeah, I was pissed. I'm like, and I had a talk with everybody and I was like, are you guys serious right now? It's like they... Doug and Sheila just left. It's like, this is the first day. This is the first 2 hours of the first day, and they're already messing up. It's like, we should be able to do this by ourselves.
Yeah,
we should be able to do this. And it's like, there's no reason why we can't. We all know what we need to do. And I gave everybody a talk, and I'm like, just do what you know how to do. And
yeah,
everyone kind of stepped up after that.
We haven't had any... of that kind of mistake again.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't think that really had anything to do with your parents being gone. It was just, you know, coincidence at that point. But
yeah, I was so frustrated. I was like, are you kidding me?
I just remembered a scenario where your parents were gone and I had to make one of those like judgment calls, and this lady drove away with all this wood on her truck on a rack, and she had just gotten down like the road, and she called, and I don't really know why she called, but just like, tell us what was going on. She's like, yeah, as I was driving, she literally got like half a mile, and she's like, my rack started to break, and so I'm over like next to this gas station, and I just want to let you know, like, I can try to bring it back, and then obviously I can't drive all the way to like wherever she was going, Bellevue or something, with this. So I'll just have to figure out like another day to come, but I can try to make it back down the road. I was like, no, no, just stay there, please. Yeah. And I told the guy who drives our work truck, I was like, and you got to go down the road and like help this lady put it on the work truck and come back, because we're not leaving her stranded there with all this wood.
Yeah.
And she was so close. And
that was a good call.
I was like, I hope that's okay. That I like told, I'm like, yeah, you gotta go. It was such a random thing, but that was a good thing. Okay. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Let's get into the crazy story right after this break. Back. Okay, so yesterday there was a situation at work. Casey's just gonna tell a story, and it was quite frightening. So here we go.
So we have a lot of vagrants. Is that the right word?
I don't know what the right word is. We have a bunch of drugged up homeless people who live right outside of work.
Yeah,
that's probably not politically correct, but that's what they are.
That's what they are. Anyways, yeah.
If you're homeless, whatever. If you're on drugs, whatever. If you're bothering other people while being homeless and on drugs and have no, you don't want to change and you're bothering hardworking citizens, I have a problem. Okay, go. Sorry.
So. That started about 2 o'clock yesterday, and there was one guy who came out of the valley where all the homeless live, and he was like running, like speed walking, running, and then another guy followed out of the valley, and was maybe, he was like 200 yards behind him, and we're like, oh, what the hell's going on here? It's like, because we always get a little suspicious with that kind of activity around our yard. And so we were looking at them and like making sure they just kept on walking, didn't come in and try to start anything. And so
they passed. Then about a minute later, the guy that came up second, he came back in through our entrance gate into our yard, and he started yelling about how somebody was laughing at him. And like, he was like, I want to talk to the boss. I want to talk to the boss when your employees are yelling or laughing at me. I'm just trying to walk. They're laughing at me.
He wasn't walking either. He was running, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was on something. I don't even know. But so then, like, we all saw the commotion. So we went over there.
There's like four of you guys standing there. Well, three of you standing there. One of you was on a forklift.
Yep.
And this guy's yelling. And side note, like, probably 2 months ago, there was, if there's somebody who's like yelling in the yard, like a customer yelling at one of the guys, like, somebody will be like, okay, just get out of here. Like, if you're going to be like a child like that, then just leave. Because sometimes grown men act like children and they need to just leave a place of business.
Oh, I've kicked people out before.
And so like 2 months ago, it was still when like it was nice out. And then there was like these two guys and they had just the weirdest relationship and they were just screaming at each other for like half an hour. And I thought they were yelling at one of like our employees. And I'm like, if this was going on for this long, like one of the other employees would have like come up and said something.
Oh, yeah.
So they were just like yelling at this old, they were both like two like middle-aged guys that are, one was older, I think.
Yeah, one
like,
was probably in his 50s. The other one's probably in his late 60s by the look
like,
of them.
They're like, you're so stupid. You can't do anything right. You're so dumb.
Oh, and let me get up there. I'll strap on myself. Fucking idiot.
Yeah, they were just like screaming and cussing. And I'm just like, what the heck? And they were just like for half an hour. And I'm like, how are you guys going to work on this fence or deck or whatever it is? Like, you're going to get a noise complaint because you cannot just keep, he was screaming like cussing, like bad words. And just also just like screaming, like angry voice. It was like giving me a pit in my stomach. Okay. But so I was like, what's going on? Is it a customer like yelling or are they yelling at somebody else? And I didn't. And I was like, I hope everything's okay. And I just saw like a look of concern on your face. I was in my office, like looking out the window. I couldn't see anything. I could just see like you looking at something. And yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this guy starts yelling.
Starts yelling. So as soon as he starts yelling, he's making a scene and stuff.
And he's visibly.
He was on drugs. He was distressed.
Inebriated. Intoxicated. Yeah. Whatever. I was trying to think of intoxicated.
Yeah, he was definitely on something. But, so as soon as I heard him yelling and all that stuff, I pulled my phone out and had 911 on dial. And, because, I mean, that's what you do usually in that case. It's like, if you can tell if they're, like, not totally whacked out, just be like, dude, I'm going to call 911 right now. And I'm calling the cops.
That's not what you said.
No, because that guy was not.
He was unhinged.
Yeah, he was not stable. So, like, my buddy Chris, he came up, and he was on the forklift, and he says, get the fuck out of our yard, man. It's like, no one's messing with you. Just get the fuck
just
out
leave.
Of here. Just leave. And everyone's
you
like,
don't
dude,
belong
just keep
here.
Going.
Just leave.
And, like, he just gets pissed and gets wild eyes and starts, like, yelling at Chris. And then, other guy there, Michael, he's talking him down. And then Chris said something to another one of the other guy that was there. And the homeless guy, he just like went off after that. And he's just like, what? And then Chris was like, dude, I wasn't even talking to you. And it's like, then I think he ended up saying, just like, you need to just get the hell out of our yard, man. And the guy puts his hand on his waist and says, this is going to be your last fucking day working here. And pulls a gun out and points it straight at my buddy Chris and swings it around on all of us. And, like, starts walking towards Chris with a gun trained on him.
Okay. So, I saw the video afterwards, and he was not walking towards Chris. He was like, I'm trying to think, like,
crazy eyes too. You can't see that in the video. No, it's like he was completely freaking unglued. And yeah,
so I'm watching. I just see Casey and one other guy like standing there, and I'm like, something's going on. And then I hear, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's what I hear all of you guys say, like, oh, like I think just somebody said like easy or something. Yeah. And I was like, oh fuck, something bad is happening. And like, I wasn't sure. Like, I couldn't see what was going on. And I'm not going to go out there, like running out there. What's happening? So I'm just like, I just got to stay calm. Like, stay here. Like, I was like, should I call? I'm like, but it could be nothing. It could be. I didn't know. So what happened after you guys were like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
So like the guy like had the gun on Chris and he stopped, and then like everyone's like, dude, just calm down, just take off, like we don't want trouble, and put the gun away and ran out our gate, and I immediately called cops, tell them what happened. There's two cop cars that pulled up in the median outside our entrance, and I talked to them, told them which way he was going. And they took off, said another car's coming. And yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
So yeah, that's very so scary. Like, I don't know if it was loaded. It probably was, you would think.
Yeah.
And he could have shot all four of you and more, or one of you, it was a bad situation. And there was a customer in the yard.
There was a customer standing right behind me.
Yeah, and he was like slowly walking over there. They're like just like peeking and like, what's going on? I'm like, I have no idea what this guy was thinking. And I just feel terrible. And it's so, so scary. Like, it's so scary. And nobody should ever get a gun pulled on them at work. And it's just unacceptable. And really, I mean, you said you talked to the cops, and there's hordes of people living in the valley next to where we work. And the city of Tacoma police said there's nothing they can do about it because
the city they're of Tacoma won't let them do anything about it.
Because they're on city of Tacoma land, and the city of Tacoma says there's nothing they can do. And there's people living in the trees. There's people living in this valley. Like, we're surrounded by people who, not all homeless people are bad, but these people, if they have a gun and are on drugs and are unhinged, it's extremely frightening. And somebody pulled a gun on somebody else who was sitting outside of work about a month ago. And I am just sick thinking about it. Like, I'm really upset. I think you did the right thing. Like, you handled it well. I think if there's anything like you guys learned from the situation was, I mean, the people who were like yelling at him, like, they're like, just get the fuck out. Like, go. Like, I think that hindsight is kind of 20/20. In the moment, they thought they were doing the right thing. Like, maybe this will just like kind of shock them out of the system. Like, go, because that could have happened as well. But like, they probably shouldn't have yelled, because that guy was like obviously not in a good place for that. And like, de-escalating the situation was the best thing. I think the right thing that you did was you waited to call the cops until after he ran away, because the sixth sense or something, but I'm like watching this. I'm like, God, I was like,
if I put my phone up to my ear,
Casey, don't do anything. Don't do anything. Don't do, like, I was just like watching. I'm like, don't call the cops. Cause I was like, if I just could have pictured it in my head, like you, like on the phone, like, hi, 911. I have somebody here. And just like I just was picturing it in my head, and it was terrible. And
yeah.
So,
because this morning I talked to like the neighboring businesses around us,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, I talked to one of the guys for a while, and he's like, the scariest thing about it, which is what we said yesterday, but the scariest thing about it is it's like a person with a gun who's in the right state of mind and they're not, don't have an altered state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's, it's not as worrisome as somebody who is
right,
like just completely whacked out with a loaded gun that's like coming into businesses and trying to start shit.
And I'm just so, it just pisses me off beyond belief because people are like, oh, we need more gun control laws. Like, a person like that is going to get a gun no matter what.
No,
like,
yeah.
That doesn't, like...
They don't have a, I can guarantee that guy probably doesn't have a concealed carry.
I don't think so. I don't think so. And there are people who we do know who have concealed carry permits and know how to properly use a gun. And it makes me feel safer knowing that there are people out there with who are knowledgeable and know that kind of stuff and can protect from the bad people who do bad things like that, like who are unhinged. And like, I mean, it's just so frustrating. I just see it happening more and more and more in various areas of Washington State. And I just don't feel, I hate Tacoma. I don't feel good there, but like, I didn't feel good like working in Seattle either and like riding the light rail to work every day. Like, I got used to it. It is what it is. But like I would randomly have like anxiety attacks thinking about like if I'm on the light rail and I'm like, somebody could just like pull a gun here and we'd all be dead. Like, so that's really dark and I probably shouldn't even say stuff like that. But I just think about that kind of stuff because like there's nothing you can do. Like, you're just there in that kind of group setting. And I just don't feel like Seattle's very safe. I don't feel Tacoma's very safe, but it's just not good. And so like, I just wanted to like share. I wanted you to share because it was crazy and yeah. It's our life and people should know that this is happening in Tacoma. It's not just like people who are involved in bad things are having bad things happen to them. Like, we were just at work, going to work.
We're just doing our damn job.
And yeah, so, and also just to like, if you hear a story like that, you can kind of, like, God forbid anyone else is in this situation. Like, if this like crosses, you know, their mind, like, oh, I'm not gonna, like, I gotta call the cops as soon as possible, as soon as I'm out of danger. Like, cause you have to always call to make an incident report, always. Always, always, always. That was a mistake that was happened when somebody pulled a gun about like a month ago, like you said. It happened, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes before we got to work.
And well, then, no one even told me until we were at work for a half an hour.
Right. And then I'm they like, told the us. Hell? And then they were like, why didn't anyone tell us this earlier? They're like, oh, we just, I mean, there's,
did anyone call?
There's nothing we can do. And I'm like, well, that's true. At that point, there's nothing you could have done. There's nothing the cops could have done. They're gone. But you have to get it on file. You have to. You have to have it on file so that you just have, for so many reasons. But
yeah,
I'm really proud of you for handling that situation. And
shouldn't have to handle those freaking situations.
You should not. And that's just another fact, like, and your parents were not there, the owners weren't there, like, it was just...
On either of those gun pulling cases.
Right. And it's just frightening. And, like, I don't know what would have been different if there was only one customer in the yard, too. Like, what if it was a full yard? Like, would somebody else have gotten involved? Like, what if... There's so many scary what ifs with that, and I'm just so grateful that it didn't escalate any further. But
yeah,
it just is so bad.
That was, yeah, no, it definitely got the adrenaline going.
Yeah. And I just I had a pit ever, like, everyone was just kind of like shaken up after that, and then watching the video was just disgust, like, I was just so disgusted and just seeing it, like, oh my God. Like,
yeah, people just kept on coming in wanting to watch the video. I'm like, I don't want to watch the video. So I just left.
No, like, I mean, you, like, of course, people wanted to, like, see what happened. But then, like, once you see it, you're like, oh my God, like, this is just disgusting. Like, it's not funny. Away. It's not funny. It's not cool. It's just disgusting. I didn't want to end on such a bad note. Like, I wanted us to be able to laugh about it, but yeah, it's just not, it's not funny yet.
It's not a laughing matter.
Someday we'll laugh at it, but hopefully when we move.
Yeah.
I just keep praying. Maybe we'll move. Maybe we'll move because I'm tired. I'm really, bad things happen everywhere, but you don't have to be in the heart of a bad area. Like, this is just so fucking frustrating. It's not good. I had bad situations happen when I worked at, and I was freaking 19, tiny girl closing up alone at like 9 p.m. the store, and there was some crazy homeless drug people that lived behind the store over there too, and but I've only had one or two bad situations there, and it wasn't to that extreme. No gun. Like, oh my God.
When a gun gets pulled, just, I mean, if anybody, just try to de-escalate it. That's the only thing you can do.
Right. Like, obviously, we're not giving advice on this situation because
that's all you can do.
We're not experts.
Is just try to freaking de-escalate it. But, I mean, yeah, we were lucky.
Yeah, I guess.
Because it's like the guy he was pointing the gun at, his cousin got shot. He got shot in the head and got shot in the chest a month and a half ago.
Right down the road.
Right down the road.
We're in a really great neighborhood. And if anyone's got a couple acres property, not in Tacoma.
But
I'm trying to convince them to move.
It's just, there's a lot of freaking crazy people out there now. And I mean, you just gotta kind of take that and do a,
there's crazy, into account. There's crazy people everywhere.
Yeah.
There's people who are not all there because of whatever reason. And it's jeopardizing a lot of safety.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we went to work the next day, and then you told the other yard down the road that this happened, and they went into lockdown for 2 days. So maybe we should have gone into lockdown.
They shut down their freaking yard for the rest of the day today and all day tomorrow. And I was like, oh my God, that's a little extreme there.
That's just weird because it makes you think of like when you're a kid and you go to school and then you're like, you're in lockdown. But because that had happened before with people, kind of same situation, a lot less frequently when I was in school, but same situation. People were walking outside, not pointing at anybody, but flailing things around. And then you go into lockdown. But it's like when you're an adult, you're like, you just kind of go on with your life since you can, since they didn't shoot us. But oh,
I kept
so
on thinking about it last night. I'm like, because I was really freaking worried about you. Like, if he did end up shooting, like when he got really aggressive.
I work in a little office all by myself. And so
I was like, I should have came up that way. And I should have been like, because I, as soon as I saw like him coming into the yard, I was just like, oh, I don't feel good about this. And it's like, should I tell Lindsay? I'm like, no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. I didn't feel good about it. I'm like, fuck, I should have just been like, Lindsay, close your window now. Get under the desk. Lock the door.
I was fine.
You were fine, yeah. You
thank
weren't
God.
In any immediate danger.
But at other places I've worked, even you know, like these ticket offices, they have these things where, and like we should get one. I don't know how you set this up, but they have them at banks, at ticket offices, at... they probably have them at the freaking grocery store even. Underneath a desk, you pull a little lever and it calls the cops.
A silent alarm.
Yeah, a silent alarm. So you're like, if someone's, you know, trying to rob a bank, they could just pull it so they're not like, hello, 911, because that's not good for a robbery. So, like, I think we need to get one of those or just move, which is not an easy task, but it's frustrating. And things are not changing for the better. It's just getting worse and worse.
So much worse.
I mean, you've worked in that location for how many years
eight,
now?
Almost eight.
No.
So seven. We've been together for nine. So I've been there for seven.
But still.
Going on eight.
And, like, have you... Do you feel like it... I mean, you... It's never been great.
Well, I talked to... When we were talking to the guy who came from the other lumberyard down the road that I talked to, like, early in the day.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I've been here for years. And it's like, I used to never have a problem. Like, I wasn't worried about getting hurt or anyone coming into the yard until, like, the past 3 years. And it's like, I used to stay after work and be on the cut station for... till dark.
Yeah, that's by myself. True. You did used to do that.
In the entire yard. And it's like, I wouldn't even, like, lock the gate or nothing. So it's like, the exit gate would be open. And I would just be in there just doing my thing, listening to music and headphones. I'm like, I didn't feel threatened at all. Though, like, about 3 years ago is when everything changed.
Yeah.
And it's just gotten progressively worse. And it's really just gotten exponentially worse.
Yeah, exponentially.
With all the shit that's going down with the whole city of Tacoma, new legislature, all that. But...
Yeah, so I think that's the end of the story.
Yeah.
You guys get an episode this week.
Yeah.
It was an interesting one. We're very proud of Casey for all that he's done these past 2 weeks, and now it's going to be 3 weeks, leading the show. I'm hoping maybe we could get some time off afterwards because you need it.
I got some gray hairs popping up. It's nice.
I really want to go down to the Oregon coast. And
I do too.
So maybe we can make that happen. We'll see.
We'll make it happen.
They owe us.
Yeah, for real.
I'm just doing my normal job, but I have to deal with Casey. So
deal with me. That's a whole nother job. Full time.
But yeah, once again, I'm proud of you, Casey B. And if anyone else is looking for tips on, you know, maybe moving up into a different role, to having these kind of opportunities that come into place when someone's gone on vacation or just a new task, seriously, reach out to me or Casey, because Casey is mastering this and he's doing a great job running a business. Like, I don't know any of our friends who run a business, and you are doing it so well, and you're getting all embarrassed because I'm complimenting you. And Casey gets surprised, and he's like, "You really think we stopped recording?" We stopped recording at the half. I'm telling him, "I'm so proud of you. You're doing such a good job." And I turn off the recording. He goes, "Do you really think I'm doing a good job?" Yes, that's what I told you.
I don't know. Maybe you're joking.
No, I'm not joking. I love you, and you're doing a good job.
Yeah, I'm trying. Okay. Everyone keeps telling me I'm doing a good job, so I mean, there must be some kind of grain of truth in that.
Hey, you know the other big tip here. Confidence is key. That's our motto.
I'm always striving for perfection.
No. Perfection isn't real.
But you can shoot for it.
I don't know. I like confidence is key better.
Ah, nonsense.
Okay, we are out. Hope you guys have a great week, weekend. You can share this podcast episode wherever podcasts are found. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Follow on Spotify. Listen on Stitcher. Google Podcast, whatever all those things are. Follow the Instagram at PishPoshPod, and we'll be back next time. Last thing,
party on.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am so glad you joined us. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Then make sure you're following us on Instagram at PishPoshPod. Then, if you want even more, you can join us at patreon.com/pishposhpod. There are bonus episodes there and journaling prompts for you to use whenever you want. So check all that out. We'll see you next week. Party on.